So guys, the last few weeks, we've been talking a lot about resetting our lives. Come on, we got to reset our lives. We got to be living for so much more. And we are in for a treat today, because here's the real question. How do I live this thing out? Like, how do you, you know, like you come to God, you give him your best, you're doing all the right things, but how do you live this life out? And of course, you want to look at everybody else, but sometimes looking at everybody else is also a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure, because you're like, oh my goodness, they know the Bible so well. Oh my goodness, look at the size of their Bible compared to mine. You know, like, there's all these different things can run through your heads. Come on, we got to be real. We are real people. Like, I'll never be as good as them. Like, I'll never be able to talk as good as them. Let me say this. There is no pressure in the kingdom of God. We have a better peace. It's called peace. Say amen. And God is looking to fill you with peace. Pressure is what the world gives. Peace is what Jesus gives. And it's who he is. And so today we're not talking about pressure. But what we are saying is this. We have to realize that God wants to work through us regardless of our insecurities. That's an amen right there. Regardless of our fears, anxieties, worries, and even what we know about ourselves, God wants to do something greater inside of us. He picked all the good ones. He picked Gideon. He was the least of the least. He picked Joseph, who had an ego bigger than the sun. You know what I'm saying? He picked Moses, who just liked to kill people. Okay? Like, God just picks people that you would never, ever think he's going to pick. And the good news is he picks you. Amen? He picks you. And hopefully you haven't done any of those things. Hopefully you're just a normal, everyday person. But that's who he's looking for. And today we're celebrating Pentecost Sunday, and we are. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, and I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you that pressure in life, maybe you're feeling a little bit stretched, maybe you're feeling overwhelmed, but here's the plan that the Bible has always had, and here's the plan of the Father, that instead of being stretched, you would be spirit-filled. Amen? Instead of being stretched and worn out and trying to figure this whole thing out and trying to do another Bible study and trying to get another book and trying to get a better translation and all this, that you would know the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would help to sustain you and encourage you and bless you. And this can radically transform your life. So here's what I want to ask you. Ever feel like you're doing all the right things? You know, you're showing up, you're serving, you're working, you've got kids, you're parenting, you're leading. But it still doesn't feel like enough. It feels like you're empty. It feels like you haven't got what you need. I want to say there is an answer. And the answer is the Holy Spirit. The answer is the Holy Spirit. And he wants us to live this life with his empowerment. He wants us to live out this life, not trying to do it all in our own strength, but doing it through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to read a verse to us today. Here's what it says. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Very famous. This is where Pentecost comes from. If you're going, what on earth does this whole thing mean? Well, you had Jesus. He rose from the dead. Then he did 40 days of earthly ministry. And then on day 40, he ascended into heaven. And then the disciples had to wait. And it said that they waited and they waited and they waited. And eventually after 10 days, they weren't sure how long they're going to have to wait. Eventually, then the Holy Spirit comes. And Pentecost simply means 50. So it all was going to tally up. If they had only knew there was going to be Pentecost Sunday, they might have counted the whole thing out and said, let's come back in day number 10. We got the whole thing figured out. But they had to wait. And then it says, when they waited, they got filled with the Holy Spirit. I just want to say something on that wait. Waiting in our world is probably one of the most frustrating things ever. You're waiting for something new to come. You're waiting for something to happen. You're praying. You're like, when is this going to happen? I got my career plan. I got my life plan. I got my savings plan. You're waiting, you're waiting, you're waiting. I want to say to you, I think waiting is a trap in this life. I think waiting is a trap. But what God always intended waiting to be was waiting was always supposed to be active. In the kingdom of God, this is how different it is. So in waiting in life is you cease, like, sort of thing. You just wait. You get disabled in a sense. You're waiting for something. If it's really important, it's like it feels like everything else goes on hold. But in the kingdom of God, guess what, church? Waiting in the kingdom of God is about activity. It says, okay, I'm waiting for the Lord to move, but in the meantime, I'm getting ready. I'm waiting for the Lord to do what he needs to do, but in the meantime, I'm busy in the kingdom of God. That's the difference between waiting in the world and waiting with the Lord. And so today I want to encourage you, they waited before the Lord, but they weren't just sitting sleeping or just hanging around or just, the waiting was doing something in them. And I think the waiting does something in us. I think waiting is one of those things where you go, okay, do I really want this or not? I think waiting really tests and proves if the path that you're on is the path you want to be on. I think waiting gets you to the end of yourself. I mean, I'd say a famous story is some of us way back 2010. The guys will fix me later if it was wrong. But we went to Cape Town, South Africa, and there was a band called United Pursuit. I don't know if you ever heard of this band. And we were in the middle of a township, just crazy. And then in the middle of this township, there was this beautiful home. Now, again, if you've ever looked up the photos, a township really shouldn't have a beautiful home in the middle of it. But I'll give you a couple of guesses why the beautiful home was there. Like to sell drugs. That's how you got the beautiful home. So he's got the beautiful home. Everybody else around you are just living in shacks. They haven't got anything. But for some reason, we're doing outreach. And at the very time that we're doing outreach, there's a band from America that are playing at a drug dealer's house. And I'm going, it doesn't get any weirder than this. But it turns out the drug dealer was away. The local Christians asked them to say, hey, we've got a worship band coming over. Is there anywhere that they could do worship? And the drug dealer says, sure, you can use my garage. So we were all getting high. No, we were all getting praising the Lord in the garage. We were all praising the Lord in the garage. Now, here's what was frustrating, guys. Because up until this point, it's awesome. You know, it sounds all good. But I have never met this band before. So number one, I don't know the songs. But even better than that, they start singing the songs. But it's like they don't know more than about 10 English words. And they just repeat the same words. Gosh, I don't even think it was 10. It was probably 4. And they just repeat these same words over and over and over. And Arvin knew better than me, but probably played the same 4 chords over and over again. In the same way over for about an hour solid. And then some of the team came to me and said, Darrell, we're loving this, but can we go? I was like, yeah, you can go. Some people were like, oh, because you know, the wit is what kills. And then I started to say to myself, I go, hold on a minute. We are in South Africa in a drug dealer's garage, not getting high, by the way, but worshiping God. There's a band from America. People pay to see this band. They happen to be here at the same time and the same place as we are here. This is ridiculous. God, what's going on? And then suddenly, for those, the good people stayed, me and a few other guys, the rest went. No, I'm joking. Some people couldn't stick it. They had to go, praise the Lord. But for those that stayed, something just switched for us. And we said, hold on a minute. This is a Holy Spirit setup. This is a God setup. God wants to do something in us that we're not ready for. But if we can just resist the urge to get frustrated, get mad and go, maybe God will do something spectacular. I tell you, the next star, I think they eventually changed the song and then played the next song for the next hour and repeated the same sort of 4 or 5 words. But at least they changed the tune, praise the Lord. But for that next hour, it was completely different. Because now we've went from when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? This is annoying, to this is unbelievable. God's got us here. Our whole perspective changed. Nothing really else changed. The building was the same. The people were the same. The band were the same. Yes, they changed a little bit of the song. That was it. But something changed in us. And we went from we're fed up and we're stretched and we're this and we're that to like, oh my goodness, what's he going to do? We were excited. We were expecting. I'm telling you this, church, that next hour changed me forever. I just felt the mark of the Holy Spirit. I felt the mark of God in my life. And what I'm going to say to you is, church, there are times where God's going to bring you into situations and you're going to go, this is ridiculous. I'm out of here. And you're just, and I'm gone. But he might just want to break you so that he can make you. He might just want to challenge you to go, you're not as good as you think. Because the biggest problem that we have in our world is that we can make most things happen. Don't like how slow the health service is. I'll go private. Don't like that I can't get a car. I'll get a loan. We can make pretty much everything happen that we want to happen. The problem with that is we think we're in control, and we're not in control. We have a measure of control. And what it can do, church, is can fool us. And it can make us think that we can do this life by ourselves. I want to say to you today that maybe the 10 days of waiting was to tell these disciples that you've got salvation, but it's not enough for this life. It's enough for the next life because your sins are forgiven. You're going to go to heaven. But for the life that you're living right now, you know what? You know it. You can come to church on a Sunday and be a fantastic Christian. And by Tuesday afternoon, you're wondering if you're even saved. And maybe you're not wondering that, but your friends are. Because there's no difference. There's just no difference in you. You might not be like sinning or anything like that. But you're like, you know, come on. The early disciples, this is how the people knew they were Jesus' disciples. They said, we can just see they've been with him. We can just see that they've been with him. We just see that he looks like Jesus. They look like Jesus just the way that they act, the way that they go. And I want to encourage us today, church, there is so much more in the things of God for us, but we might have to get to the end of ourselves, and it might take a drug dealer's garage in the middle of South Africa to get you. Or it might take your kids who are driving you up the wall every day saying, come see this, come see this, come see this. That's what Reuben says, you know, or it might be the people you work with, or it might be the wife you're married to, or maybe this, it could be anything or anyone, but God is trying to get your attention, and he's trying to say to you, I'm trying to get you to the end of you because you're not the biggest deal in the whole world, but I want to do extraordinary things through your life. I want to do extraordinary things through your life. So number one, let me give you a first point before we get too carried away. We were never meant to live this life powerless. I'm just sick of being powerless. I don't feel powerless, but that's what I felt like years ago. I felt powerless. I felt I had salvation, but I had no power. I felt like I was reading the word, but I couldn't get anything from it. I felt like I was praying, but it was empty. I felt like I was sharing, but nothing was happening. Church, if you're sitting in a powerless Christianity, you need a wake up. You need a shake up. You need an infilling of the Holy Spirit. That's the whole point of the Spirit. That's the whole point of the Holy Spirit. He did not just come to convict you of your sins. He came to run your whole life. You know, he came to run your whole life. Did you know he's better than ChatGPT? Come on. Like, he's better than AI. He's way better. I know that makes you feel powerful. I know that Google and all these things and money makes you feel powerful, but it's limited power, and it's always running out. The power of the Holy Spirit is what's going to transform your life. And God's not quaking in his boots thinking, oh my goodness, Elon Musk. No, he said, my power worked 2,000 years ago, and it still works today. It still works today, church. And so I want to encourage you, get back to that truth of you need the Holy Spirit in your life and you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we'll get into it a bit more as we go over and over and over again. So look at this. Jesus says to the disciples, and these were the guys who walked with them. Some of them lay their head on Jesus' breast. Could you imagine that? You just go, Jesus, could I just lay my head down in your chest? Would that be all right? Sure. You're like, whoa. What did it feel like? What was his heart? Was it like, duh, 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 duh. Like, I don't know. Or was it just, duh, duh. You know, I don't know. Like, come on, this is the Son of God. You get, but notice what the Lord said. He said, you've walked with me. You've heard my teachings. You've seen my miracles. You've seen me risen from the dead. You received the mission. But wait, that will not be enough to sustain you. You need power for the mission. You need me for the mission. The problem is I got to go because the Father has a better plan. And here's the better plan. If the Son stays, the most I can really manage is about 12. I can bless thousands, but the most I can really disciple is 12. Let that be a lesson to this church. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he will be a blessing from the Father. He's the promise of the Father. So Jesus says, it's better that I go. Because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit won't come. Think about this, church. You got to get your head around this because you're going, nothing will be better than having Jesus with you. But Jesus himself says, there is something better. His name is the Holy Spirit. He's just like me. Remember, they're three in one. Can't get your head around it. They're not three individuals. They're three in one. But he says, I'm coming back. I'll be the Holy Spirit, if you want to think of it like that. But he says, I got to go. Because if I don't go, the promise of the Father won't come. And guys, you don't realize it. What you've seen me do, what you've heard me say, even the Bible itself, it will not be enough. You'll end up in a dead Christianity. You need to have a powerful Christianity. You need to be like me. You need to be laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. You need to be able to pray and see mountains move. You need to be able to have something, someone, the Holy Spirit himself inside of you so that you can live a dynamic, radical life for the things of God. And he wants to take you, church, from a person who's powerless and full of insecurities that may have salvation. And that's the most important thing. But there's more. The Lord says that's the beginning, not the end. There is more because my goal is that you would live a full life in this life. And so right now, church, you might be here and you might be sitting here and you're going, oh, I'm so glad to hear this because I was confused. And maybe you're here because this is how it felt for me 20, 30 years ago. I thought, Lord, I'm so glad to hear this because I was confused because I've got salvation and I'm praying hard and I'm reading hard and I'm worshiping hard, but I still feel empty. Like, Lord, I couldn't figure it out because I was like, Lord, there must be more. And then people will come and say, there's more. I say, oh, praise the Lord. Because I was starting to doubt my salvation. I was starting to doubt that maybe I wasn't the right Christian. Maybe I wasn't this. Maybe I wasn't that. Maybe you're feeling like that. I want to say to you, there is more. And it comes in the form of the Holy Spirit himself. Lord, the Holy Spirit. And so why do we need this power? Because experience is not enough, information is not enough, good intentions are not enough, and even passion is not enough. All those things will run out. We need the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. And as we do, watch what he's going to do. I want to say it like this, church. I think that trying to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit active and flowing in your life is impossible. I think it's impossible. I think you will never step into all that God has for you. In fact, you will have salvation, but you'll probably have very little else because it becomes heavy and hard work. And before you know it, it can become religion. And we want to set you free from religion. Amen. So let me think about it like this. You ever had a phone? We used the phone the other week. We said, the dreaded phone. Oh my goodness, my battery's going down, the end of the world. But could you imagine if you had a phone with all the best apps on, but you had 2% left? You'd be like, my phone's full of potential. It's like, no, like unless it's got battery, it's of no use. Like, who wants an iPad or a phone that doesn't turn on, that doesn't work? Cool, it might have the best Bible app in the world on, it might have the best camera, it might have the best messages, might make the best phone calls, but if it's got no power, it can't do anything. I'm saying the same to us, church. You might have the best reading plan, you might have the best this, that, and the other, but if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, it's like having a dead battery on your phone. So much potential, but very little activity. Guys, you've got loads of potential. To activate the potential, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. This is what the Lord says. So point number two, the Holy Spirit changes us from the inside out. This is what I love about the Holy Spirit. Well, I love this about the Holy Spirit. Come on, let's read it. Acts chapter 2. This is the moment. This is when it actually happens. So they've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and then suddenly it begins to happen. You can dissect this more later. We're just going to read the first four verses. When the day of the Pentecost come, or day of Pentecost come, the day of 50 came, they were all together in one place. So just imagine you've got 120 believers. You've got 120 Christians. A bit like us. Be like as if this room was full today. It would probably seat about 120. So if this room was full today, there'd be like 120 people in here, and the Lord said it was like that. Everybody's together in one place of one heart. And then suddenly, notice this, the sound of a blowing, mighty, violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on top of them. So let's think about the picture here, guys. So you've got about 120 people in the room. They've been waiting for a long time. And then suddenly, boom. It all goes crazy. And now there's wind. And now there's like what fire looks like, fire on people's heads. And you're going, this is unbelievable. Like, could you imagine? It'd be like as if Arsenal won the league. You know, so, like it would just be unbelievable. People would just be, they were all over the place. They couldn't believe it. They could not believe it. And the power of God was ministering all over them. And then it says this, they all were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit enabled them. Here's what I love about the Holy Spirit, church. Whenever you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to fill you, whenever you're not aware that the Holy Spirit can lead and flow and move through your life, then you have to do everything. You have to do everything. And it's hard work. And you have to stir yourself to get up. And you have to stir yourself to pray. And you got to stir yourself to read. And you got to try to figure it all out. And you need all this stuff. But you see, when the Holy Spirit begins to move in your life, suddenly things become easy. There's an easiness to it. There's a sweetness to it. There's a joy to it. There's an insight to it. It's just we get things in the right order. We get things in the right way. And it transforms things. And it turns your life around. And so really the point of the Holy Spirit is to empower your Christian walk with God so it would be as if Jesus was with you all of the time in the sense of like the early disciples. And as you would walk in the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, your life would never, ever be the same again. And church, at the end of today, we're going to pray. And I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit will come and transform you. Look what happened, Peter. He got transformed on the day of Pentecost. Remember Peter? We looked at him the last few weeks or a couple of weeks ago. We said that Peter denied Jesus not once, twice, but three times. Jesus said, you're going to be my man. I'm going to build the church in you. And Peter was like, yeah, I can do it, Lord. I'll be your protector. I'll be your bodyguard. I'll do it all. And then when the pressure got on, he failed terribly over and over and over again. And then the day of Pentecost comes, says he gets touched by the Holy Spirit, and now suddenly he's preaching in front of thousands. There is nothing that the Lord can't do with your life, church. You have to get to a place of surrender. Peter was the one who denied Jesus, and now suddenly he's preaching for Jesus. It's unbelievable. What changed? Can I say this? Not his personality, not his commitment. Probably not his Bible reading, because he didn't even have a Bible, but like not. It was infilling of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit radically touched his life. Holy Spirit radically touched his life. Power of God incarnated him. Power of God transformed him. You know, like, in a way, it's probably a little bit like this. You know, like, when someone, let's say a great friend walks into the room. Let's flip it the other way. Let's say someone walks into the room. You don't really know them. They still carry a presence. You're aware that they're there. If you're close enough, you can smell whatever. Hopefully they're smelling sweet. Come on. Hopefully they got some nice aftershave on or whatever. Got some perfume on. But you're aware that they're there. But there's not much encounter. There's not much encounter. Maybe a handshake if you're lucky. Depends what's going on. But if someone comes into the room that you know and love, let's just say someone you haven't seen in a while. It doesn't go like that. It usually starts off with conversation, locking eyes, and then an embrace of some sort, a hug. Remember when the father hadn't seen his son for so long? He did what fathers never did. He ran. And he did what fathers never did back then. He hugged them. All was forgiven. All was forgotten. He embraced them. Church, I want to say to you, this is the life in the spirit where you encounter the things of God and it transforms you. It transforms you. It's like you could have the worst day and you come into the presence of God and suddenly he begins to transform you and you begin to weep and you begin to encounter the presence and the power of God. Come on, this is better than any show. This is better than any friend. You come into the power of God. This is why we need the presence of God, because the power of God wants to radically transform us. He wants to fill us to overflow. He wants to heal us and bind up our broken hearts and restore us and heal us and transform us. He wants to do all the things that we can't do. He wants to do all the things that we're paying hard to get done. He wants to transform us from the inside out. He's better than any book. He's better than any program. Not knocking any of those things, but he's who we need first and foremost. Let him lead your life and watch what he will do. He will transform you. He transformed Peter. The Holy Spirit filled him. The Holy Spirit turns fearful people. This is what he did to me. He turns fearful people into faithful witnesses. Think about that. He turns fearful people. He takes men and women that are fearful. You know, maybe sometimes you're afraid to share your faith. You're afraid to say you were at church on Sunday. That's who I was. Afraid to shine for God. Afraid, didn't know what to say. That's who I was. But then as I encountered the Holy Spirit and he came and he filled my life and I had this awareness, I was like, oh my goodness. And what I realized was the more that he changes me, the more that he fills me, the more bolder I become. The more I become like Jesus, the more everything about me changes. I don't even know who I am anymore compared to before. I'm different, completely transformed. That's what the Lord wants to do to you. See, why does Pentecost matter? Here's what's really important. We can talk about Jesus, about loving Jesus. We can talk about coming back to God. We can talk about removing idols. We can talk about rebuilding our life and walking in obedience. But we need the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, Christianity just becomes pressure. You know what I'm trying to say, church? Think about this now. It's like, it's a fine line. It's a fine line between the presence of God and just feeling pressure. Because in the presence of God, it's like, I get to go to worship on Wednesday. I get to go to life group. I get to pray every morning when I get up. If it's not in the presence of God, guess what happens? Oh my goodness, I missed prayer yesterday. I need to get up early tomorrow. I gotta recover. I gotta get back. Oh no, flip, this is a Wednesday night worship. If I don't go, everybody's gonna think I'm backslidden. You know? Oh no, it's like I haven't read my Bible in a week. I can't tell anybody because I just can't tell them. I struggle to read and I don't want to be a bad Christian. You see, the minute we don't have the presence of God, everything becomes pressure. It's like, oh, I have to go to this and I have to go to that. And they're phoning me again. And guys, I felt all those same ways. I felt all those same ways. I remember the opportunities in the early days of someone saying to me, hey, would you help us? Would you help us on this team? Would you help us to serve? And I was dreading it. But when I did it, I loved it. And then afterwards, I was dreading it again because I thought they lost me again. That's no way to live. It's just no way to live. It's a life consumed with fear. It's a life concerned with worry and doubt and anxiety and all those. Label it whatever way you like. It's just fear. But once I discovered the Holy Spirit and I began to surrender my life to the Holy Spirit, here's the problem with surrender. The problem with surrender is, and this is why we like salvation, but we don't really want to push into the Holy Spirit, is because salvation's awesome because it means at the end of my life I go to heaven. And really, in our heart of hearts, we don't really know what that next life is like, so it doesn't really bother us. We're just happy we've got the insurance policy. We're just happy that the holiday is going to be good. You know what I'm saying? We're happy that the next life is going to be sweet, so we worry about that a different day. But the life that we are in right now is the one that we want to control. You know, it's like, don't really fancy that, don't really like that. Everything about our world's customization. Everything about our world's, I can do what I want, I'll get this, I'll get that. The problem is, when you come to the Holy Spirit, and this was my biggest fear, is that he's going to change me, and he's going to make me do things I don't want to do. And that's exactly what he's going to do. That's exactly what he's going to do. Because the things that you're not doing right now, or the things you're doing right now, are directly connected to your insecurity, your fear, your worry, and your doubts. They're not connected to love as a son. They're not connected to love as a daughter. They're not connected as I am rooted and established in love. They're much more connected to that fear, worry, and doubt than you can know. So you need the Holy Spirit to come with this incredible sharp knife and sever those ties. And then suddenly you get transformed. And you know what's so radical about this? For some, you encounter the Holy Spirit and you're never the same. It's a radical encounter in that moment. I've had encounters where I fell on the floor. It was awesome. But the encounter that really changed my life, though I don't know. I'll just say what I was more aware of. Those encounters were spectacular. They were wonderful. I had a couple of them my whole life. That's it. For some people, I have much more. But what really transformed me was when he began to work with me every day. It was like going to work with a boss and he says, hey, I want to train you up to become the leader. I want to train you up to become the manager. I want you to train you up to do my role. And he's at you every day. So are you ready for the next lesson? You ready for the next lesson? That's what he did for me. And he just took me in this journey from fear, worry, and doubt, bit by bit. And I was like, I'm never going to get brave. It was a guy last night. He says, Darrell, do you ever not get nervous doing this? I says, mate, you think you'll never win, but eventually you do. Yeah, I'm not nervous in the slightest anymore. He says, so you're not nervous at all? I says, no, here's the way the Lord has taught me, is that he's going to give me confidence to do the things. It can take time, absolutely. But then I have to make sure that some of the things I'm stepping into and other areas the Lord's calling me to, that I'm getting nervous in those things. Because if I'm not, I'm getting complacent. If there's no fear, if there's no nerves at all in your life for the things that God's calling you to, you've got too complacent. You've got too safe. You've got too it all figured out. Again, you've got back to control. But the minute you come to the Spirit and you want to give him your life, this is what he does. He severs all the safety ties. He takes away the net. He takes away he's just going, let's go. And you have to trust him. And now your only foundation is him. That's it. Your only foundation is him. And it freaks you out. I get it. It completely freaks you out. But it sets you free. It sets you free. And suddenly fishermen that only knew how to fish become world changers. And suddenly guys that were concerned about taxes and collecting people's money and maybe even ripping a few people off, now all they're concerned about is turning the world upside down for Jesus. Come on. Murderers who would once murder a guy suddenly become Moses that would lead millions of people out of captivity. Suddenly people that were the least and the worst of the worst become the next Pauls, converted from Saul. Come on, church, you've got to realize God is looking for you and he's after you. He's after you. And there is no escape. There is only denial, but there is no escape because he knows where you live. Amen. He knows where you work. He knows where you hang out. He knows the friends that you have, and he's going to pursue you until he gets you. And then at some point you either have to surrender or be like, that's it. There's nothing more I can do. Church, I want to encourage you, surrender is the passageway to freedom. Surrender is the passageway. We're going to pray in a couple more minutes. I want you to stick with me. See, some of us are tired because we've been trying to do this Spirit-filled things without the Spirit. You've been trying to love deeply. You've been trying to forgive. You've been trying to pray. You've been trying to read. You've been trying to do all these things. But to do all those things, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. It's the only way that transformation is going to come. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't just touch you in a meeting. He transforms you in your life. And then number three, Galatians 5:16. Can we go there? Galatians 5:16. Galatians is a great book, church. If you have not read Galatians, I want to encourage you to read it and then ask some questions of some people around you if you need to. But here's what it says in Galatians 5. Not only can you be filled with the Spirit, but here's what it says, verse 16. But I say to you, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Or another way of saying it is you're going, what do you mean by that? Well, remember this, the battle in your life and the battle in my life is to walk in the Spirit and not to fulfill the desires of my flesh. My flesh says, I want to have all the money in the world. My flesh says, I want to have more cars than I need. My flesh says, I want to do whatever I want. My flesh says, I want to do sinful things because sinful things are awesome. The problem is you can't pay the cost later. That's the big problem. They lie to you. They deceive you. But that's what my flesh says. My flesh screams out, it's all about me. It's my world and you are just living in it. My flesh screams out that I'm the best thing since sliced bread. That's what the flesh says. But here's what the Spirit of God says. You have to crucify the flesh. You have to put to death the things of the flesh. Otherwise, they will rob you of the things of the Spirit. Amen? And God's here today, church, and he says, I want you to walk in the Spirit so that you're no longer the same. Now, here's the beauty of walking in the Spirit. Can we just say it real quick? And then we're going to pray because I'm excited to pray. But here's what sometimes happens, normal everyday life stuff. Okay, I'm having an issue with, let's say, lust, or I'm having an issue with tithing, or I'm having an issue with, you list off any of the struggles or any of the issues you could have. In life, this is what we tend to do. We go and we say, I've got an issue with X, can you give me the remedy for X? Or I've got an issue with this problem, can you give me the remedy for this problem? That's not the way of the Spirit, that's the way of the world. That's the way of the world. The way of the Spirit is, walk in the ways of the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't even desire the things of the flesh. Walk in the ways of the Spirit. Guess what happens? As you walk in the Spirit, what's God going to do? He's going to create a fruit of the Spirit in you. Love, joy, patience, kindness, self-control. All the fruits of the Spirit are just going to start to grow in your life. And guess what happens? The more you start to love the Lord, the more you start to walk in the Spirit, the last things on your list will be to gratify the desires of the flesh. You automatically put those things to death. So my encouragement to you is, stop worrying about those things and try to beat those things and get concerned on the things of God and start to walk in the things of God. And as you start to walk in the Spirit, all those things get taken care of automatically. That's the goodness of God. And then the last verse we're going to read before we pray, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, says, be filled with the Spirit. Now, here's the important thing, and we don't have loads of time to go into it, but let me just share it like this. This is not a one-time deal. Remember this now. Salvation, once. You only need to ask the Lord for forgiveness once, and he radically transforms you and saves you. If you've not done that, please consider to do that today. That is the most important thing, because without salvation, you will never make it to heaven. You will go to a lost eternity. So we got to be real about that. But the minute you do that with God, God says, now you've got a foundation. Let's build a whole house. Let's change the world. Let's change you. Let's make you a better you. Let's remove all the hurt, the pain, the worry, the doubt, the lies. Let's transform you. All the hidden things, the known things, the unknown things. Let's do all of that. And to do all of that, you need the Spirit of God. To do all of that, you need the Spirit of God. And how are you going to do it? By getting filled by the Spirit of God. Now, here's what's interesting. It says, be filled with the Spirit. But if you were to look at it in the original language, because, of course, we're not looking at the original language. We're looking at English. But if you're going back to the original, you know what it says? Be filled over and over and over and over and over and over again. Because you remember that one time back in 2018, you filled up your car with diesel? It's not working anymore. Like, it's just not working. I wish that it would work. Like, wouldn't that be so cool? Like, if your car could be filled up 6-7 years ago, and you'd be like, yeah, this is awesome. I never have to fill up my car anymore. That would be so good. Or, like, maybe you got a wife today, and you're like, but I told you 2 years ago I love you. You know what I'm saying? Or, 10 years ago I bought you a present. What do you want another one for? Well, because it's kind, you know? It's like, it shows a bit of love and appreciation. You know, but this is how life goes. Come on, guys. Salvation is a one-time deal. But get filled with the Spirit, or encountering the Holy Spirit. You can be as drunk as you like in the Spirit. Amen? You can be as drunk as you want. Like, that's what the Lord says. You can know the Spirit, and he can overwhelm you, and he can transform you over and over and over and over again. And I want to say this. The harder you go for God, the more filling up you're going to have to do. Just makes sense, doesn't it? If you take your car out for a spin today, and you go to Cork and back, you're going to be filling up. If you go to Armagh and back, you're not filling up. You know? Come on, church, we got to know this. If you want to live a safe, boring life, then forget about everything I told you. You just stick with your salvation. You're all good. But it's not going to satisfy. It's not going to keep you. It's not going to be what God's made you for. It's not going to fulfill the deepest longing in you. It's not going to fulfill that satisfaction. It's not going to set your heart ablaze. I mean, and you know what the contradiction is? You're going to do everything to try to find that in other silly ways. Like, oh, the new season of this has come out. It's going to change my life. No, it won't. You'll be dissatisfied with the ending. You'll say it's not worth the subscription cost. You'll be like, I can't believe they did that. Like, come on. Even your favorite team, you know what the problem is? They're going to lose. They're going to win one day and lose for 22 years. You know, come on, church. You got to know this stuff. Nothing else. Nothing else will satisfy. Only the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit. So can we seek the Lord this morning? Come on. We got to do it. See, a car needs filled up. You need filled up. I want to say it again. If you're feeling dry, stretched, powerless, distracted, tired, Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. And I know that for some of us, we're like, I just want to live in the background. I just want to. But can I just say, can I be really frank and really truthful? When you give your life to Christ, that's what you did. So for you to say that, Jesus, I don't want what you have for me, it's not really your choice anymore. You're just dragging your heels. Because to get his life, you've got to give him your life. And so now your life's not your own. That's the truth of salvation. That's the truth of the Lord. Just the kindness of God says, I'll still give you a measure of control and you can still decide if you want this thing. But guys, can I just be truthful? The pleasures of this life will never compare to the pleasures that God has. The pleasures of this life, the cheap thrills, the whatever you use to get a cheap thrill from, the sins, the sinful act, they will not compare to what the Lord has for you. I want to urge you, stop fooling around with foolish things. Stop getting distracted by all those other things and begin to pursue the Lord like never before. And don't worry what's been before. Start to focus on today and tomorrow. Because I'm telling you, the best career in your life will never satisfy your deepest longing. The best partner you ever find will not satisfy your deepest longing. They are not what you need. What you need is a relationship with Jesus. But what you need is more than just a tick box to say, I've got heaven. You need an active relationship with Jesus. You need one that walks with him every day. You need to walk in the Spirit. You know that Jesus only ever did the miracles that he did because the Holy Spirit was filling him. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is available to us. Come on, you already have the Spirit if you've come to salvation. But the Bible says like this, you can go from a little bit to a tsunami. You can go from a trickle to a flood. You can go from a trickle to a river. That's what the Word says. Don't believe me, read it. You can go from a little bit. You've got a little bit of the Spirit, but why would you want a little bit when he says you can have everything? You can have everything today. Can we stand together? We're going to pray. Acts chapter 4, 31. I want to read this verse over your heart, and then we're going to encounter the Lord. It says this, after they prayed, this is just a prayer meeting. They're having a prayer meeting. Don't worry too much about the context. They're just having a prayer meeting. It says when they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. So normal everyday Christianity is your prayers should not put people to sleep. They should shake the building. Amen. Come on. Come on. Your prayer life should shake nations, not just annoy the person beside you in bed or whatever. I don't know. Your prayer life is meant to transform things. It's not meant to be boring. It's not meant to be ineffective. It's supposed to be really, really dynamic. Said this as they prayed, after they prayed, where they were meeting, the place was shaken. This is a physical shaking. Please don't think that this was just a spiritual thing. Physically, the building shook. Everything shook. And they were all filled. Notice the word all. There's no discrimination here. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Come on. If you're not satisfied with not being bold, if you're not satisfied, come on, you need the Holy Spirit. If you're not satisfied with your life right now, you need an encounter with God that's going to radically change your life, and then you're never going to be the same again. So here's my heart's desire, church, and then you can decide what you want to do. I want to pray with everybody. Everybody. But you can tell me if you're going to agree or not, because at the end of the day, it's free. I'm not going to force you to take something that's free. But it's here for everyone. I would love to pray. The early church did it like this. They would lay hands on the believers, and then suddenly the power of God would touch that believer's life, and they would never be the same again. I don't know what will happen. For some of us, we might feel a radical heat. For some of us, we might be overwhelmed with tears. For some of us, we might just experience the presence and power of God. For some of us, we will encounter the presence of God so radical that we may feel like I can't even stand anymore. I don't care about any of that stuff. You do whatever you need to do. Just trust the Lord. Let the Lord do whatever he wants to do. What I would love is that every one of us would encounter the power and presence of God in this place. Because salvation is only the beginning. It's only the beginning. You cannot become what the Lord has called you to become without the power of the Spirit. Otherwise, remember, it becomes pressure. And we are no good with pressure. Pressure will always put us down. And eventually, we will crack under pressure. But with the presence of God, we will thrive. So can we do it? Guys, I want to invite you. We're just going to let the first ones come, whoever wants to come. And then as we pray, here's my encouragement. If you come and receive prayer and you want to just stay in the presence of God, you just stay there. If you're happy and satisfied, go back to your seat. More people will come. If everybody wants to stay, I will then go behind and pray with everybody else. I'll get Ian to help me as well. But I want to pray today, church. I want to lay hands on you. I want to ask to invite the Holy Spirit to come and believe that you will be anointed and blessed and never the same. Amen. So let me stir your faith. Lord, I pray today for a faith that would be stirred up in the house. Come on, I am believing that faith is in each and every one of us because God's given us a measure of faith. But Paul says like this, sometimes we have to stir up the gift of faith that lies within us. Otherwise, it can become a little bit dormant. So Lord, I pray today, Lord, you have called us to transform nations. The problem is we're looking at our lives and we're going, me? Many of us have done that before. The miscommunication or the disconnection is you need the Holy Spirit and the infilling of the Holy Spirit to make it happen. So Lord, I pray for boldness today. I pray against timidness. I pray against shyness. I pray against fear, worry, and doubt. I pray against I'm not qualified. I pray against I don't know enough. I pray against I'd never be able to do it. And I pray against control. And I pray today, Lord, that people would radically step out and say, Lord, I want everything you've got. If you've got it, I want it. I'm not sure how it's all going to work out, but I want it, Lord, because I'm not satisfied with what I have. Lord, I pray for a holy discontentment in each one of our hearts right now. I pray this for real. A holy discontentment, a holy dissatisfaction, because I want an unrest. I want a restlessness in you so that you will seek the things of God. Don't let money or anything else block you out or distract you, that God has so much more for your life. So Lord, I pray that Holy Spirit, you would move and that we would never be the same again.